The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 506. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chrissy.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
I have it on good authority that the ninjas have been dispatched.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Oh, man. Oh, Manny, I don't know what was going on before. Like, when I called you out, it was like a delay or something. Probably because you had the camera off. You know how that weird thing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're back with another one. No Brett action tonight. His back is all messed up, so he's recuperating. But yeah. Blitz, hold up. Hold up. My man is back in the chat after being in Japan for the past 3 weeks. Really appreciate all those awesome pictures you've been dropping in Discord this entire time. Look like you've been having a time of your life, man, sharing all those Nintendo things you've been buying over there, which is pretty awesome. I know by the end, your like bags were filled up. It's like, I can't buy any more shit. But it's good to have you here live once again from New Zealand. That must have been a hell of a trip, too. Japan and New Zealand, you know?
Nah, Japan and New Zealand is like a stone's throw away.
Yeah, just like, you know, Earth and the Moon, right? Just right there.
Nah, man, New Zealand's not that far.
Manny, New Zealand is at the bottom of the Earth, basically, you know?
Yeah, but it's still not like a super long trip down there.
It's like saying yeah. Argentina isn't far from New York.
Yeah, it's not far from New York, you know? Manny,
it's... No, it's not...
How long was that flight? It's a 12-hour flight. That's not a short trip.
That's not bad.
That's a long trip, dude.
That's not bad.
You know? That's how long it took me to get to Hawaii. That was a long fucking flight, you know?
That's how long it took me to get to Japan.
You know? Good shit. But yeah, good to have you back. And you'll be happy because the first topic, not the topic, the first question of the night was about Nintendo. Uh-oh. News happening during the weekend. I didn't know about this until, because I saw some chatter going on in Discord. Shout out to the Discord crew. Like, what's going on? Now, apparently, there was a rumor going around that Game Freak, the makers of Pokemon, were hacked and stuff, and a bunch of shit was being put out. Then it wasn't a rumor anymore. The hack, and the subsequent leak did happen. And yeah, we got to talk about it. Got to talk about it.
To be clear, how long ago this hack happened is a while ago. It was August.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
That's when this happened. So
why are we just now finding out about it?
Maybe whoever did it finally put everything out or finally went through it.
Maybe they wanted a ransom.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted a ransom.
Yeah. So
usually Japanese companies don't do the ransom. They just say, fuck it.
Fuck you. Know? Yeah. So I admittedly, since this happened during the weekend, I don't really know what's happened. So if somebody who's a little bit more knowledgeable on this wants to speak up, Chris, I'm kind of looking at you, bro, because I'm pretty sure you've seen what's up.
I only saw when you saw it, but I don't know the details of the hack.
Okay. Tubeca's already filling us in. Thank you. It was a phishing scam by the sounds of it. All right. I want to read this. I'll just read it from IGN. They're reporting on this, but I'll save that for a little bit later. So your boy, this is the real reason I want to talk about this fucking topic. Hypocrisy in the industry, bro. Pokemon developer Game Freak reportedly hacked stolen data on unannounced games as well as Nintendo Switch 2 codename leaked online. Not reportedly because, Game Freak put out an official statement. Game Freak has issued a statement confirming the company suffered a data breach. Yeah, like you said, Manny, in August 2024, the company said its server was illegally accessed with 2,606 cases of current, former, and contract employee names and email addresses accessed. The Japanese language statement carries the date of October 10th, 2024, and does not mention the Pokemon data that has emerged since. Okay, so I guess we may need to put a grain of salt on that Pokemon data, but regardless, the hack happened. In the statement, Game Freak apologized to all those affected by the data breach and insisted the vulnerability at the heart of the hack has since been rebuilt. So that was the update. Because remember, originally, people didn't know if this was real or not. So this is the original story. Pokemon developer Game Freak has reportedly suffered a significant hack resulting in the leak of stolen data that includes codenames for 10th generation Pokemon games and even the Nintendo Switch 2. As reported by Nintendo Life, another site reporting on this. Very interesting. Data leaked includes the code name of Nintendo's next-gen console. Reportedly, the working name is The Ounce. Very interesting. Remember, that's just code name. They're not going to call that shit the fucking Ounce. You know, that's stupid. The code name of the unannounced 10th generation Pokemon game, reportedly Gaia. The code name of the announced Pokemon Legends Z through A, Ikaku. Neither Nintendo nor the Pokemon Company, well, you know, we know that happened. You know, they did issue a statement. Not Nintendo, but the Pokemon Company did. The code name, okay, so let's get to the nitty gritty of stuff here. Because Throwdown reports on leaks. Again, I'll get to that in a bit. The code names for two versions of the 10th generation Pokemon games are part of the leak, K and N, which may relate to Nintendo's intention to release it for both the Switch and its successor as a cross-gen title. According to Nintendo Life, Ounce is mentioned as the target platform. Very interesting. So a cross-gen Pokemon game, apparently, or reportedly. A Pokemon game codenamed Synapse is also reportedly mentioned. This unannounced game is said to be co-developed with another studio, with some reports indicating it is some sort of Pokemon MMO. You mean a thing people have been asking for forever? Interesting. Elsewhere, source code for DS titles, Pokemon Heart Gold, Soul Silver, Black 2, and White 2 have reportedly leaked, resulting in stolen unused assets for Pokemon and even game music emerging online. Oh, shit. Outside of the games themselves, there is plot information relating to an unreleased sequel to 2019's Detective Pikachu movie, supposedly called The Great Detective Pikachu. The movie was reportedly directed by Jordan Vogt Roberts, the guy who did Skull Island, and planned...
Guy who's supposed to do the Metal Gear movie, by the way.
Crazy.
Interesting.
The movie was planned for release this year, so it's unclear what happened to it. Indeed, there is evidence to suggest a trilogy of live-action Pokemon movies was at one time considered, with the third apparently revolving around the Game Boy. Okay. The data also includes everything from emailed meeting summaries to Pokemon lore information, with mention of a so far unannounced Pokemon live action show from Netflix. That's crazy. The Pokemon leak rekindles memories of the infamous Nintendo Giga leak of 2020, which revealed previously unknown canceled games, prototypes, source code, development tools, and internal communication as part of what was at the time the largest leak of internal video game information ever released. I think we reported on that too. Nintendo has yet to reveal blah, 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 blah. Anyway, all right, Chris, now that you know what's up, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll start tinfoil and I'll work my way down. So I really think that there was some kind of knowledge of what Nintendo was going to do to the PAL World developers. I think they started that investigation a while ago, so it's possible this was retaliation, and then gathering, you know, do the hack, gather the data, right, and then wait for Nintendo to make a move, right? So what happened a couple weeks ago, they're like, oh, we're going to do this patent lawsuit, right? And now this data gets released. So it's possible it's retaliation. That's what I was thinking. The first thing I thought of when I heard this was like, this was planned retaliation. But by who? I don't know. Could have been fans of the game. Could have been anyone. I have no idea. But I just find it a little strange, the timing. The timing that the actual hack happened in August. These guys sat on it. Maybe they were trying to ransom it, but we haven't heard anything of that, like any type of demands, right? I don't know if guys in the Discord know, but I didn't hear anything about this, right? But what happened only two, maybe 3 weeks ago is the lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
So they sued Pocket Pair, and then what happens? Now this drops, right? And kind of damages it, and then shows like, oh, they were working on an MMO. How interesting. You know, that could, and we don't know what stage of development that could have been in response to PAL World's existence. It could have been before, who knows? But it's all very interesting, and it's we'll see how they handle it. I'm interested to see what Nintendo's official statement is.
Yeah. Do you think Nintendo will say something? Game Freak did, so it wouldn't be crazy if Nintendo did as well.
I would think they'd have to, because if it was just Pokemon games and lore and employee data and stuff, then a Game Freak statement is enough. But because there is now extended rumors to the Switch 2, then they'll have to say something.
Yeah, that's so true. The ounce. Gary Swaby is in the chat. What is going on, my brother? That's good, man. Now I'm even more hyped. But yeah, man, crazy stuff. Again, this happened. But remember, the statement came out on Monday Japan time, right? Or am I wrong about that?
You are right.
Okay, so we'll see. Because I was going to say, wait till Monday. But in Japan, it is Monday in Japan. Yeah. So, yeah. So, crazy shit.
What time did this thing pop up?
The Game Freak thing? I don't know what time they released it.
Well, right now in Tokyo, it's Japan. 11:40. It's 11:48 a.m.
Oh, so they got to it early over there.
So guess is probably a 9 o'clock in the morning or 10.
No, it was way. Probably. This was way before. This wasn't 2 hours ago. They made that statement. This was like 8 hours ago.
Maybe the middle of the night. Well, they had an impetus to do it because employee data is in there, right?
Yeah.
So that's the impetus. They had to put it out, like immediately address it. You know, Nintendo is going to carefully consult their legal team or whatever, and they'll draft a statement and they'll post it up today or tomorrow. But they're going to have to address it.
Yeah, they're going to have to. Does anybody have any thoughts on the actual leak themselves, all the information? Anything you guys want to chime in on regarding the Pokemon games and the Switch 2 and the crossplay?
I don't know.
Don't really care?
Not really.
The fan games are going to explode with all those leaked assets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like two games leaked assets.
Well, you know, at least the PAL World developers will have more stuff to pilfer from, right?
No, they don't pilfer. They don't pilfer anything because it's all just AI anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gary, you came in at the right time because your boy, man, I'm about to go in. Kishak, what's going on, man? Actually, what's up before I go off on my rant? Does anybody else have anything else to say about the leaks?
It sucks whenever this sort of stuff happens because it's like. And you notice it's happening a lot more now. I'm wondering if it has to do with a lot of the remote access that goes on with these companies these days.
It's a good point. You know what I mean? I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
You know, like if you, like the first, like the earliest ones that we saw was during the pandemic, right? Was during with CD Projekt Red. Then there was a Capcom one. There was the Naughty Dog one, right? Was it Naughty Dog? Oh no, it was Insomniac. Mm-hmm. You know,
Insomniac.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's all these different companies that essentially started getting these ransom things or, you know, essentially getting in. I almost feel like it's because of all the remote access that's been happening between everything now where you have people working at home, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
It's also the proliferation of moving stuff from like racked private servers to cloud services, right? So Nintendo and a lot of other companies are leveraging AWS and Azure and Google Cloud or whatever. So that's your weak point, right? If you can break their tokens into those systems, you get everything. That's the CD Projekt Red, I believe, was that. I think it was an AWS S3 bucket that was unsecured, and then the guys just downloaded all their shit right from there, source code and everything.
Fuck.
I don't think you're wrong about the remote access thing because one – non-VPN connection into anything or a weak VPN or whatever, you know, they can get in and start siphoning data. But I think it's more of it is the move to cloud. And then you just need to know what they're using, right? You just start hitting Azure, AWS, Oracle, whatever they're using, their cloud services.
Yeah, that's a good point. Kishek says the weakest point in a security system are always human beings. Well, yeah, you know. But in this case, like, I'm kind of with you, Chris, on your conspiracy theory, you know, that this is retaliation. But we'll see if they even admit that. But yeah, the thing I want to touch on, when I saw this, I'm like, isn't that interesting? I'll take you guys back a little bit. When Throwdown was on its annual break late last year in December, a similar story happened, right? Insomniac was hacked, right? Insomniac Studios got hacked and a bunch of leaks came out. The gaming industry collectively decided it wasn't going to cover it, because people's personal information was put out there. As I've said many times on the show, and by the way, the instant we came back from vacation, main topic, that's the main thing we talked about, right? Because unlike these other organizations, we're actually consistent. We've reported on every single leak that has happened in the gaming industry. Why were we suddenly going to stop with this one? If you're worried about people's sensitive information, you know, getting put out there, don't talk about that. Talk about the actual leaks, right? So I find it very funny. Oh, and by the way, and I got to say this too. I'm not going to name any names, but even fans of this show gave me heat for taking that stance. They're like, Tony, that's wrong. People's personal information was leaked. You can't talk about that. I'm like, no, fuck that. I'm going to talk about it. There's still news. We're reporters. We're going to report, right? So even some fans of this show, I'm not going to name names, took Insomniac's side and subsequently the gaming industry side, right? Cut cue to now, right? Remember, the crux was we can't talk about the Insomniac leak because the company was hacked and people's personal information was revealed, right? The same thing happened now with this Nintendo hack, right? Yet, sites, IGN is the biggest gaming website on the planet. They're reporting on it, right? What's different here? Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe there's something just mentally wrong with me. I don't see a difference here, right? The company got hacked. People's personal information got put out there. But it's okay to report on this, but it's not okay when it comes to Insomniac. I have my theories as to why that is, but the hypocrisy is so fucking blatant, bro. Very fucking blatant. Why was that wrong, yet this is okay, when it's the same fucking thing? If I'm missing something, please let me know, right?
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
It's Axis. Insomniac is under the umbrella of Sony. Sony Publishing Incorporated, or whatever the hell they're called. And Nintendo is Nintendo. They're probably the most stingiest developer in order to get access from. So most people don't even mess with Nintendo that much, because they know that Nintendo doesn't really care about that, the whole handshaking, you know, agreement between IGN or whatever the publication is, or gaming journalist X. But that relationship does exist with Sony. So when Sony has something like an Insomniac leak, or if a Naughty Dog leak happens, or if something happens with God of War or something leaks like that, they won't talk about it because they have a relationship with Sony, and it's a wink wink deal with them, where it's like, we don't want to mess with Sony, we don't want to get in their bad graces, because we're already good with them. And that's not the same case with Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't even to follow it up. What I was going to say is exactly what you just said. That's what it is. They're cozy with Sony, not so with Nintendo. Because remember, Sony, even though, yes, they are a Japanese company, right? They're effectively a Western company at this point. And so obviously, a lot of these sites have a cozier relationship with somebody that they could actually speak to, you know, in the same language than somebody like Nintendo, who you need translators with. And like you said, Nintendo isn't exactly the warmest company out there, you know? But come on, man, you see the fucking hypocrisy, bro. You see
video game politics.
Yeah, but Carlos, Throwdown, consistent, bro. consistent, you know?
Yeah, man, we cozy with the beef.
Yeah, we cozy with the beef, calling the bullshit out, you know? Bliss goes, I thought IGN was a bunch of Nintendo fanboys, but they protected PlayStation. Yeah, very interesting. Syrian Air Force, didn't E3 get hacked years ago with people's information? Yeah, and they reported on that too, you know? I'm going to say it. Greg Miller, what's up, bro? Remember, everybody followed his stead. He was the first guy to say, I am not going to talk about the Insomnia League because people's personal information got put out there.
Oh, but he got called out immediately. And yeah. It's like, dude, you have a show called PSXO, I Love You. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Where you at, bro? That's all I'm asking. Where you at? Why aren't you on Twitter right now telling people, don't report on this. People's personal information got hacked. Just say the same, literally copy and paste what you said, just replace Insomniac with Game Freak. I just want the consistency. I don't think I'm asking for that much, but apparently I am, you know? Fucking crazy, bro.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm trying to think of anybody else that this would happen to that would leak, that it would garner this type of attention. I think if something like, maybe it's a stretch, but like if the Game Awards leaks like a week before, I think there would be another rallying cry.
I think so.
Like there was for this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's certain other.
What? Yeah.
Okay.
What? No, go ahead.
What? Okay. What? yeah. P.S. I Love You hasn't said a thing in months. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think P.S. I Love You hasn't said anything about the motherfucking Insomniac League?
It's because the show doesn't exist anymore. They went to a format that essentially does everything now. They got rid of their Xbox show and their PlayStation show. That's old news.
Are they trying to be fake neutrals?
No, it's just more that they're just trying to lump all of their gaming stuff into one show. That's all.
Yeah, they still got fanboys as in law, you know.
Yeah, as you can tell, I'm not very familiar with that show. I don't watch any of this like mainstream gaming media stuff. I don't watch any of that stuff. I never was about it. That's why back in the day I was about the Warzone and the Shotcast and stuff, you know, and you know, everything from the Coalition. Real motherfuckers, you know?
Well, let's. I mean, Warzone was.
And I like the Fan Zone too, Carlos.
Well, you know, the Fan Zone was the real zone, but to be quite honest, the Fan Zone was a bunch of fanboys in that show.
Oh yeah,
Warzone was a bunch of fanboys in that show. Everyone was fucking fanboys. Oh, yeah. The whole crux of Warzone was Xbox versus PlayStation, hip hop versus was
torn. Oh no, I'm not saying I don't listen to. What I just said isn't regarding fanboys. It's about real dudes, you know.
Not
motherfuckers with access to everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, yeah, for real.
You know,
yeah,
motherfuckers.
Sure.
You know, IGN ain't gonna be talking about fucking anal beads like Torrance. You know, I'm talking about shit like that. You know. Shout out to Torrance, man. Warzone Aftermath coming in, you know. Yeah, by the way, for you guys who don't know, Warzone is coming back, people. We're gonna have Torrance on. I want to have him on the show when that officially launches, you know. We'll probably hear more about this during this week, but very interesting how the standard is there. But Carlos, you said it, bro. It's about the access, bro. Let's keep it real, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, let's move on. One subset. Why does 343 Industries think changing its name to Halo Studios while keeping the same people makes a difference to us? We said that on the last show, bro. It's like, what difference is it going to make? You're just changing the paint on the same house, you know? You're not even changing the furniture around, bro, you know?
Just rearrange the deck chairs.
Yeah, not even that, man. You just,
just repaint the deck chairs.
That's it. You're not doing nothing. We kind of went over this. There it's not going to make a difference, you know. And Chris, you saw some of those the people behind this. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh man, yeah. Good luck with that.
You know, if anybody else wants to chime in on this, go ahead. But I think we kind of said everything we needed to on the previous two shows.
If it's the same people, then what does it matter? All it is now is it's just overt. Now it's like, okay, the joke was they were the Halo studio. Now they literally are the Halo studio.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. What's up, Rich?
To answer the question, I believe the question was why, and my answer is because they are delusional. They're hiring other people to come in and tell them, why aren't people buying games on Xbox? So the whole company is delusional at this point. So that's the answer.
I agree.
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right, man. We got another one here from Mob Hits. Should the newly rebranded Halo Studios remake older entries in Unreal Engine 5 or focus on a new mainline game? They already said they're working on a new game. So that's going to happen. But that is an interesting idea you brought up, like remake the older games in Unreal 5. They're probably not going to do that. But very interesting regardless. But yeah, they already said they're working on a new game. What's up, Carlos?
Yeah, they said they're working on two new games.
Excuse me?
Which is pretty interesting. But my answer would be do new games, because the last time they tried a remaster or a remake of sorts, it took years for it to actually work. So after it released. So I don't trust, like you guys mentioned, it's just a new coat of paint. It's not really a different studio.
Carlos, you want this same studio to work on another remake?
Yeah, exactly. That shouldn't happen.
No.
It's like, you know, when you live in, you have those a shitty apartment, right? And all the landlord does is they don't actually fix anything in the apartment. They just paint all the walls to make everything look like it's all new. But then as you start to sit there, you know, you start to see all the ceilings start to turn brown from the leaks. Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of cracks and termites in the boards. It's all this underlying bullshit that's still sitting there. It's not a new apartment. It's not a new building. All it is the same shit.
Yeah, and it's got the same, you know, shitty tenants in it. So.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing that they really should have been trying to instill in people that they are capable of making a fucking Halo game at all. Yeah. Because as far as I remember, ever since that company had taken over the Halo franchise, they have not been able to make one single Halo game that has been satisfying to anybody.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Syrian Air Force says they should ask Sony to see if Bungie wants to collaborate on that, which honestly is not the worst idea.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The people that made the Halo games aren't even at Bungie anymore. All of that's gone. Like, whatever is left of Bungie, it's not who made those Halo games. I can assure you of that. With the exception of some of that lousy leadership that got left over from when they switched over to being an independent studio and being bought to Activision and all that, and back again being owned by another studio, another company. No, I don't think they are. I don't think any of those people are left that made those legit good Halo games.
Yeah.
What is it? A Destiny, even though everybody loves that game, is an example of that.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on. Dr. Loomis, who is kind of a newer name, you know.
Dr. Loomis. I'm thinking that's somebody that might have switched their name to something more Halloween related.
Yeah.
Literally,
you'll have to like tell me who that is, because when I hear Loomis, I think of Jeff Loomis from Nevermore,
from Halloween, the Halloween franchise. He was Michael Myers' psychiatrist.
Oh, he was. Oh,
yeah, man. He was the
Shows
guy.
How long I've seen those fucking movies?
He was the guy that was chasing after him. He's like, he's got devil's eyes.
Oh, that crazy dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the guy.
Oh shit, it's Jay Shep. What's going on, brother? It's him. All right, so there you go. I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? Yeah.
He's officially activated his inner pumpkin.
Yes, just like
his inner pumpkin.
Yeah, just how people make their spooky names and stuff. You know, like Boo Earns. Yes. You know, I don't know.
Boo Earns.
Anyway, first question for Mr. Loomis. I'll call you that for the rest of the month too, man. Out of respect, you know. If I'm not mistaken, Nintendo first party developers have been used to working with old gen graphics for at least the past two Nintendo console generations. How confident are you that Nintendo's first-party developers will be able to take full advantage of the graphical capabilities of the upcoming Switch 2? Very capable, because that's also going to be last-gen tech, just like before. J-Shep, since you're in the chat, I want to know, is your question meant to be like that you think that a Switch 2 is going to be like on par with current gen? Because he sure as fuck is not, you know? But I will say this, though, and Chris, I'll let you jump in after this. Nintendo developers will absolutely take full advantage of that system. They do a great, listen up, motherfucker, listen up. They do a pretty damn good job when it comes to the first party games, when it comes to, you know, the way they run and perform and shit. Generally speaking, there's exceptions like the last Zelda game, which ran like ass, right? But generally speaking, first party Nintendo games run great on the system. The developers know what they're doing. But no, this system is not going to be on par with PS5. At best, it's going to be on par with PS4.
That's what it's going to be.
It's not going to be on par with PS4 Pro. No fucking way. PS4.
No, it's not going to be. Yeah. It's going to be. Yeah, it's not going to be PS Pro. It's not going to be PS Pro. It's going to be a 4.
Yeah. Chris, jump in here, man.
Yeah. Wait.
Just your thoughts on, like, you know, how well the, you know, Nintendo's first party developers going to utilize the new hardware. And
they have an advantage over everyone else. And this has existed since whatever system is. Nintendo internal studios and second party guys get full access to, like, not only SDKs, but SDK support. Yeah. And there's no language barrier. That's the problem that Nintendo always has with Western studios, is there's a lag time between, like, hey, we can't implement this feature, sending it to support, getting it translated, getting them to work on it, and then getting it back. So the Nintendo guys have instant, like, support. They have instant access. Plus, these guys will adjust any developer tools or whatever. So they have a huge advantage. So they can take more advantage of the hardware early on than anyone else can. And that's been existed. The Wii was the same thing. One story I heard internally was that LucasArts had made a lightsaber game, right? To use the Wii motion controls. They didn't know about Wii Motion Plus, right? So they had to implement some kind of cockamamie thing to make the lightsaber tracking work.
Yeah.
And then just after the game came out, like a week or two later, was Wii Motion Plus. And they were like, I guess they were pissed. They contacted Nintendo, like, why didn't you tell us this thing existed so that we could have leveraged it for the game? Because it was a lightsaber. It's a first-person lightsaber game.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. So shit like that, you know, that's a constant thing. But in terms of... Nintendo themselves and second party, like Intelligent Systems, and they have a good relationship with the guys that make Professor Layton and Game Freak. They'll have instant support, instant access, can even make suggestions that will probably be taken to heart and adjustments into the actual SDK. And then, but everyone else will be left trying to figure it out. You know?
Yeah. J-Shep says, it seems like they've been so used to really old gen. I would just be shocked to see their games at PS4 level. No, because it tracks with everything they've done. Think about it like this, right? The Wii, which was effectively a GameCube, was on PS2 level, right? Then the Wii U was kind of PS3 level. So was the Switch, like a more powerful PS3 level. So the next generation would... It makes sense if it's PS4 level, you know, which means it's two generations or a generation and a half behind where the industry is. Because now we're thinking about, you know, we're moving on to the PS5 Pro and potentially the PS6. So, it makes sense that it's, again, two generations behind. So PS4 graphical capabilities, absolutely not out of the question. Also, I want to read a comment from Kishak because he nails it. The Switch 2 is limited by the battery and heat for it to have such powerful hardware. Yep. Remember, this thing needs to be played in handheld mode, and you can't have games running out of juice in 15 minutes, you know, so they are limited in that sense. And think about it like this, right? The Steam Deck and similar handhelds generally run games at PS4-like levels, and they have 2 hours of battery life, roughly. So don't be surprised if the Switch 2 is able to do that, you know? It's not, think about it. Yeah, PS4 graphics looked fucking amazing 10 years ago, but now they look dated. So Nintendo is still running on old shit, you know? Yeah, Switch 2 will finally be able to play GTA 5. And again, where is GTA 5 for the regular Switch, you know? That's crazy. All right, man. Good question, though. I like that. Another one from Mr. Loomis. I've decided that I'm going to upgrade to the PS5 Pro, mainly because I probably won't get a PS6 at launch, and $300 for a Pro is an offer I can't refuse. I'm assuming he's going to trade in his PlayStation 5 for that, because the console costs $500, $700. It seems many others have also decided to upgrade to the Pro, making it the number one console sold on Amazon and the number two most purchased gaming item in 7 different countries, while its main competitor is in the number 100 spot, last I checked. Are you guys surprised that the Pro is selling this well? No. This system is going to sell well, man. Like, remember, who is this for? The hardcore PlayStation guys and the whales and the fucking scalpers. So I'm not surprised at all by this shit. Even though $700 is fucking exorbitant, but, you know, FOMO. Motherfuckers have that FOMO. So I'm not surprised at all. From what I understand, that Sony expects this to sell as well as a PS4 Pro. And in the end, that accounted for about 10 to 12% of the PS4 sales. So if this tracks, this will account for 10 to 12% of the PS5 sales. So yeah, I can see that. So I'm not surprised at all, you know. What about the rest of you guys? Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, it's not surprising. And I would like to mention something to Mr. Loomis, or Dr. Loomis.
Dr. Loomis, respect. You know, gotta get that title in there, you know? My man earned that PhD, you know?
The thing that I'll mention is, you talked about paying $300 for it, right? For the whole thing, because you're trading for your PS5 general. I would like to say that when the PS6 comes out, because you talk about not getting a PS6, I'm pretty sure you can trade in your PS5 Pro and get it at a discounted rate then. So, you know, don't be surprised that when the PS6 time comes around, you can trade in your PS5 Pro and then pay like what, maybe $300 or $400 for the PS6, which I'm pretty sure it'll probably be around the same price, like $700 when it comes out. So yeah, just keep that in mind. Yeah, not surprised that it's doing well. You know, Sony, like I mentioned, we all mentioned this. Sony, even in their bad days, has a really dedicated fan base that buys anything that they do. Whether it's a PSVR that sucks, or it's a handheld that's not really a handheld, it's more of a remote play machine, or you know, a random ass controller. So you know, people were losing their minds for the 30th anniversary editions of the consoles. So like we mentioned, not surprised that this is going on. You know, let us know what you think, what your thoughts are on the PS5 Pro, whether you like it or not, something they can improve on, because you know, you're not gonna get thoughts from us.
Yeah, you know,
unless, you know, unless yeah. Tony's office has one over there.
Well, it's more than likely I will be reviewing the system, so I'll give you my thoughts on it, for sure. Barry Burton, PS9 in 2078. Facts. Wasn't the PS9 supposed to be dropping like in the next 20 years, according to that commercial or whatever? It was the PS9, right? Where you know, it's like a ball.
Yeah, the bubbles.
It was the ball, yeah.
Nanomachines.
Yeah, nanomachines. Yeah, and it all started with the PS2. Hilarious. Digital Foundry praises it every week. The PS4, PS5 Pro. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would assume so. Yeah,
no, I mean, they don't seem to be praising it. They just seem to be like, okay, yeah, now we have DLSS. But I mean, again, they haven't gotten it.
Excuse me, man. PSSR.
Yeah, PSSR. Excuse me, their version of DLSS, yep. Which you know, they're like, I don't think they're praising it. I think they're just like, it's new tech, so they're excited about it, just in general.
Well, and I guess this is up for interpretation, but they said Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, night and day.
Oh, man, that sounds like praise to me, you know?
I don't know. I mean, once they get, you know, they say night and day, but none of them, they don't actually have the new console in general, right? They've only seen it and played it played it in controlled situations. Once they get that shit, Once they get that shit in hand, you're gonna start hearing about all the misgivings they have with it.
Yeah. So they're not praising, they glazing.
They glazing. Rich, what's up,
right,
man?
Right now they're
I think you are mistaken, Carlos. They meant that there are night and day cycles in the game. They're not talking about there's a difference. Yes.
That is true. Oh, man. Kishai goes, Digital Foundry is going to make so much YouTube money from making videos of PS5 Pro versus PC. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know they are. Yeah. Making that money, you know.
this is Digital Foundry Christmas, literally.
Oh, it really is, isn't it? Like, oh shit, we got content.
They're gonna compare it, and they're gonna cut all giant holes like they did with that Silent Hill remake. So,
we got a question about that too, by the way. All right. By the way, shout out to Alpha Chuck. He is sponsoring two of Dr. Loomis's questions. So, shout out to him. All right, first up, can you be considered a real Xbox fan if you don't know the significance of 343? No. You're a fake Xbox fan, man. Let me see your gamer score, man. What's it at? You know? Oh, man, that's funny. I mean, yeah, obviously, if you're an Xbox fan, you know what the fuck 343 is about, you know? And I ain't talk about the studio, you know? If you know, you know. All right, another one here. If Sony changed all this one's kind of funny too. If Sony changed all the characters in Concord, made it free to play, and gave it a campaign, could you see gamers giving it a chance? Nope, that shit's dead.
No. It's already has that stigma around it. There it's not, you can't save that.
It's been tainted. Yeah,
the brand is damaged.
It's damaged. Yeah, it's over.
The brand is damaged. But hey, if you really love Concord, you know you can still go to the PlayStation style store on PlayStation.com and buy yourself a Concord mug or shirt just for those memories.
Oh my God!
That's the only Concord thing you can buy right now, or you can buy a dead game. But I think they recalled all those.
No, you can't buy the game. They put it on.
Yeah. So. The name has been sullied. Yep.
That's it. Yeah. You can't, like, what would have to happen is a total brand. It can't even resemble the same game at that point. Like, in other words, if you could just strip out whatever the design was of that game. And to be honest, that game, like hearing about all the bullshit that they went through to make that game, to get that game out. To get it even in the state that it is in, why would the fuck would they want to even bother with that piece of junk?
Yeah. No, you're right.
There's so many other things that they could be focusing on instead of trying to fix a lemon like that game.
Yeah. And that's putting it nicely, calling it a lemon, you know? All right. Moving on here. Syrian Air Force, man. What do you make of reports that Xbox is pulling out of Saudi Arabia with no more consoles being sold there? And apparently, this is kind of making people think that they're pulling out of the Middle East. But this report, because I had to look it up, but I didn't hear about any of this stuff. It's not, like, official yet, you know? It's like a rumor from, like, a quote-unquote Xbox insider. So we'll see if that's true or not. But I don't really have... Well, like an opinion on it, but go ahead.
I apologize because I'm not in the know of this. I did see something on the Discord, and maybe I don't know, this could have been fake news too. But apparently Jess Corden said that it wasn't true, but he was corrected by an actual Saudi Arabian. I don't know. I put in the chat, shout out to Jagon. He's probably pissed right now, and that's all I could think about.
Yeah. Jagon. But yeah, I'm not too, I don't keep up with that stuff, so I don't know. All right, another one from Syrian Air Force. This one's kind of fun and nerdy. He wants to know what GPUs and CPUs are running in our gaming rigs. Oh, man, are you trying to shame us, bro? You know? I'll go down the line here. Carlos, you go first.
I am rocking a 3080, just a standard 3080. It's the Asus ROG, I think. I don't remember. But yeah, 3080. I got it in 2020 when it came out. Been rocking with it since.
It's still working like a champ, so haven't been thinking about upgrading or anything. We'll see what happens with these new 50 card, these rumored 50 cards that are going to cost the same price as a mortgage for a house. But 3080, it's still worth it.
Yeah. What kind of CPU do you have?
I had a 5800, an AMD 5800 X, and then it just failed on me. And then I upgraded to a 5900X. So I'm rocking the 5900 right now.
Nice. I'll keep mine simple. So yeah, CPU is a 11th gen Intel Core i7. And for the GPU, 3080 Ti, both of those holding me out very well. But I do regret that I should have waited two more months. So I could have gotten the 12th gen Intel Core instead. But at the time when I got my shit, it was top of the line, you know, but this is how it is when you build computers and shit, you know. But listen, it's getting me 4K over 60 frames in like almost every game at like max settings. So I'm good. Obviously, with like newer games, I got to fiddle with it a little more. But at the time I got it, it was like blazing through everything, you know. All right. Brian, what you got, man? CPU and GPU.
So, like with Carlos, I'm rocking a 3080, but I'm rocking a Founders Edition because I don't want to spend any more, and that was the cheapest 3080 that you could buy, so I got that. And CPU-wise, I actually upgraded my CPU, finally. Ooh, finally. So long. So, for years, I was rocking the... And this is probably going to, like, make Tony cringe and want to just... die. I was rocking the AMD 1700X.
Oh, whoa. Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Exactly.
What? That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually doing well.
Yeah.
Shout out
to AMD.
Yes, indeed. And shout out to them again, because in the Amazon, because Tony was talking to me about the Amazon day thing, so I thought, oh, you know what? Let me check if they have it on sale, and they did. So I got myself the AMD 5700X 3D.
There you go. That's gonna be a big upgrade from that shit you had before, man.
I know, and it really shows. Yeah, been playing some Space Marines, and it's like, it is, to quote a phrase, night and day.
Good stuff. Chris, man, what you got in your rig?
So I have a Core i9, 11th gen, and I have a 3080 Ti.
Ooh.
Oh, excuse me?
Yeah, he's almost on my level, man. You know, actually, I need to be on your level because you have an i9. I have an i7. You know, fuck.
No, dude.
Hey, Manny, what's in that PC that you're using?
Oh, let me look at it. It is a 10-year-old PC, I could tell you that.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
So I am Intel Core i5 for 4430 CPU. I got 32 gigabytes of RAM.
Wham.
What was that? What was the card that I had? How do I find that thing?
Oh, your GPU?
Yeah, I don't know what my GPU is.
Is that the one I gave you, is it?
Yeah, it's the one gave me.
The GTX 1080.
Yeah, so I have a GTX 1080 in there with an Intel Intel i5 4430. So, and it's a 10-year-old computer. So there you go. That's what I got.
Yeah.
I can run Metal Gear Solid 5, which was high end at the time. I could run Metal Gear Solid 5, 60 frames per second, 1080p, and it ran Hi-Fi Rush, by the way. So that's Unreal Engine 5. So it's not gonna kill. It's not gonna kill. Run everything at 4K, but it can run everything at a decent 60 frames per second, even for being an old, a dirt old computer as mine is. So
yeah,
there you go.
Rich, do you have a gaming rig? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
This is a phenomenal question. The PC that I've been using, I've been doing some gaming on it. i7, very, very basic GPU. I'm pretty sure everyone on the panel has a more advanced PC than I do. So
I don't.
I am. Oh, you don't?
Not many. Well, yeah, I know.
That's old, man. It's high five, man.
This is.
Well,
I mean,
what generation is it? That's what I want to know. What's the exact name of that? I'm sorry, Rich. Because I'm curious.
Well, I must confess, I don't know the information. Is there a certain place I should be looking at on the computer to find this information? Well,
Rich told me the other day what it was.
Oh, he told you?
Yeah, it's good enough for Concord.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. But yeah, there you go, Assyrian Air Force. There you go. Oh, by the way, just quickly, since he didn't ask, but Ram, Carlos, how much you got?
64, I think.
My man.
Yeah, man. I'm one of those tab whores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. And I thought I was going overboard with my 32, but my man outbeat me. But here's the thing. Not when I bought the shit, I was like, damn, I'm going too much with 32. Now I'm like, fuck, I think I need to switch to 64. You know?
like this Nintendo.
You know? Brian, Ram.
I'm actually rocking 16 gigs. I'm actually on the low end of things.
Damn, my man's like, fuck y'all.
Brian is really disciplined and self-controlled.
I respect human it. Being. You know, meanwhile, me and Carlos like, yo, give me that RAM, son. I'm not going to be using 2/3 of that shit, but give it to me.
Every time you upgrade, Chrome has like the Burn Man hands. He's like, all right,
that's it.
Here we go.
Let's go. You know, give me more of that shit. And Chris, how much RAM do you have in your rig?
Oh, I have 64 gigs.
Ooh, my man, baller. My man. You know?
I'm like, Carlos, it's like everything open. Everything.
That's it.
I don't care. Open something else. I don't got to close nothing. It's like another one.
Chris and Carlos walking into that room with that big pimp coat, cane, you know? The fucking shoes with the goldfish in them. Yeah. Gary Burton, 128 gigs or get the fuck out. Oh, man.
Damn.
Don't tempt me, bro. I don't even need that much, you know, but I just want to look at it. look at that number, you know. All right, and the last one from Assyrian Air Force. This one's interesting. Why is there so much hate for PS5 Pro not coming with a disc drive when they still give you the option to buy one, unlike Xbox where you don't get an add-on option? Because for $700, you should add a fucking disc drive, bro. That's why, you know, and you're talking about the Xbox Series X without a disc drive. It's $450. You can forgive it, you know. So, yeah, it's the reason is because for a $700 console, you should have all the bells and whistles, you know.
Yeah, you should have that disc drive. And if so, if this is the only version that you get that says, OK, that the, you know, the only version that you get that doesn't have the disc drive, they should drop that price. They should drop it to where, you know, it costs, let's say for the sake of conversation, it costs $700. If you get it with the disc drive, then you get it without the disc drive. You get it for, you know, I don't know. How much is the disc drive? 100 now?
I have no idea how much it costs.
Was it
80? Yeah, I think it was 80.
It was 80, but Sony on the DL, the PlayStation on the DL upped their prices of everything. Nobody fucking reported on this. All the controllers and everything had gone up.
We talked about the controllers. Everything. Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, the controllers, but everything has gone up. Even the disc drive.
Yeah.
I don't know if the PlayStation, that other, you know, the stupid remote play device did, but yeah, everything went up.
Oh, the PS Portal?
Yeah, I don't think the PS Portal went up, but everything else went up. All accessories have gone up.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the answer. It's like, for $700, you should get everything, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, it's $700. It's not like it's a cheap thing at that price point and it doesn't come with a disc drive. It's just rather insulting. And the thing that even gets me is that it doesn't come with a stand. That's like the really strange part. So it was designed without a stand in mind, and then it kind of needs a stand to work or else it falls over, and then they don't give you one. It seems very Apple-like in its design, where they'll do a thing because they think it's a good idea, and then they'll charge you extra for any type of things that you need it to work. Like when Apple did
the MacBook with all USB-Cs at that point where no one was doing USB-C stuff. And then hence they were like, oh yeah, we have this adapter for like $80. You know, you can buy that and have all compatibility with your USB devices. It's like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I will say
this. The PlayStation, if it's anything like the PlayStation Slim, obviously you would need to stand for stability, but you can still have the console on its side and it'd be fine. You don't officially need the stand. You know?
Yeah, but still, okay. You know.
Question out of interest, because I don't, does anyone know if the PlayStation Digital non-slim, I guess, came with a stand or not? It must have, right? Because
it doesn't have a stand.
It comes with those stupid little leg things. You know, the slim. Not, I don't know about the
digital. Not the slim. The digital beforehand. The slim,
I'm not sure.
The slim doesn't come with a stand at all.
Okay,
you have to buy a stand separate. Yes.
No. I'm talking about the one without the disc on launch.
It doesn't come. Did it come with a stand? That one? They both came with that thing. Okay.
Because I got the OG one, launch edition somehow, and that came with a stand. And even then, it's like this thing comes with stands, and stands are relatively. I don't think they're costing Sony that much for plastic stands, but apparently they are. So, yeah, it's just the weirdness of it all. It just seems, as I said, it just seems very much like Apple in the way that it's being like given out.
Yeah, you know?
And that really gets me because like I don't like Apple and how they do things like that.
Here's the problem, Brian. The reason Sony's getting away with this is because there's no competition. People have no choice. You know, that's the unfortunate truth. And we'd warn people about this type of stuff, you know. All right, let's move on here. What's up?
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. This is just a slight side note. So PlayStation does offer refurbished items now. So you can get a PlayStation if you wanted a PlayStation 5 for a cheaper price. You can get it for like $300. Same with like the with like all the controllers, you know how they all went up. They have actually a refurbished section if you go to PlayStation Direct, so you can buy all their controllers for like $50 or less, or $60, pretty much their old prices for a refurbished controller. So you know, if you guys don't have a lot of money, you just look into the refurbished section. You can probably find some pretty decent stuff in there. You know, and you have like I think you could give you a pretty decent warranty if they all break down. They'll just easily replace it for you. So there you go.
All right, man. So moving on here. Black Metal Gamer. He actually asked us two questions, but the second question would get us in trouble, so I'm not going to ask that.
as for Black Metal Gamer's questions.
That's what he does. That's what he does, man. Shout out to Black Metal Gamer. So his question here is, what games that are locked to PS3 should get ported to PS5. I know you guys don't want remasters, but it is what it is. Better to get more PS3 games versus Until Dawn. I've always said, yeah, even though the remasters and remakes are getting annoying, I'm not against getting PS3 remakes, because how else are you going to play them? I would not mind getting a remake, remaster, whatever, of like the fucking Infamous games. You know, Metal Gear Solid 4. You know, games like that. I would love that. Resistance, you know, bring them back. So I wouldn't be against any of that stuff, you know? And I think we already rattled off a bunch of games, so there you go. Illustrated Dio, the homie. Another question about remakes. Do you fellas think the next Resident Evil game... What do you think the next Resident Evil game will be? Will we get RE9 or RE1 and RE5 in the, you know, RE engine? I don't know what they're going to do, but I hope it's RE9. Chris, I know you can feel me on that one. It's like, we're ready, man. We got these remakes. They're good. Give us a new entry already, bro.
Yeah, man. Seriously. I hope some news comes at the Game Awards, right? Because that's the last thing this year. It's like, they've been radio silent. I'm excited for Monster Hunter, but that's all they talked about, you know?
Yeah. We need Resident Evil news. Here's the thing. They probably will eventually make at least RE1. RE5 is going to be interesting because then they'll be forced to make RE6. You know, and I don't know if they want to be trapped into that. All right, man. Another one here. Another one from Mob Hits. What are three things you expect will happen in gaming in 2025? For example, Ubisoft being sold. I guess he's asking us for predictions. I was debating whether to ask this now or because we're going to do our predictions anyway at the end of the year, you know, the year-end special. But yeah, three things. But why not, you know? Three things. I'm just going to go for obvious shit. Michael Pachter, Captain Obvious shit. We're going to get another Nintendo console for sure. More studio closures, probably, you know. Number three. I don't know. I've just got two. That's all I got. What about the rest of you guys?
Hopefully Monster Hunter gets delayed.
Oh man.
We're gonna get a whole spiel about how GTA 6 is nowhere to be seen in 2025.
Yep, that's true. Sir Nerfer says Concord gets released on Xbox and Switch. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I have more. I just can't think of them right now.
I got some.
Oh.
Okay. Grand Theft Auto 6 will get delayed to 2026.
Yeah. Oh, man. I agree with that.
I think that I just had it.
Uh-oh.
Let's see if it comes
back. I agree with that too.
I think we'll finally Abandoned will finally get released.
I
don't know about that.
I don't know about that, but Hassan will actually announce another game.
Yeah, probably. That's another one. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll see Xbox will announce more games coming to PlayStation. I think that's a guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Rich.
The last one, I think Assassin's Creed Shadows might be the biggest flop of 2025. So
there it is. Oh, no. Yeah, that's I agree. That's going to be brutal. All right, man. And we'll have more predictions for you at the end of the year, you know, our year end special, you know. Insomniac,
I have an alternate prediction.
An alternate one.
Well, I don't think they're even going to release Shadows.
Oh, shit. I like that one. I'm going with that one. It's not going to get released.
I think they're going to kick the can down the road and just quietly cancel it.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. They're going to pull a Batwoman, you know. Agent and StarCraft Ghost in 2027.
Oh.
Barry Burton.
It was the biggest paperwares of all time.
You know, maybe Beyond Good and Evil, you know.
Yeah, Good and Evil 2, right?
You know, 8 days. What's up with 8 days, bro? Oh, man. And Carlos, favorite game. Let's go deep down, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
What's that other one, the other Capcom one that you know, we were asked about last week by, you know, someone
with a very... Pragmata.
Pragmata, yeah. Drunken Demon, you know, he good guy, you know, he asked us about
that. That's our predictions for 2027.
That's right. Oh, man. All right, we got another sponsor one here by another great fella. His name is Lunar Diaries. He is sponsoring a Mob Hits question.
No.
Oh, man. All right, the question is, with Silent Hill 2 Remake becoming a huge success, well, I don't know about that, would you guys want to see a Castlevania remade in Unreal Engine 5? Damn, he's asking us a lot of questions about Unreal Engine 5 remakes.
A lot of Unreal Engines.
Yeah, so Chris, for no reason whatsoever, you could start us off first.
You know, I know Konami's jumped on this remake bandwagon pretty hard, but I don't know. I know the question said not discount the Mercury Steam stuff, but how can you?
Yeah.
The Lords of Shadow games happen. They were terrible, right? I honestly don't know if Konami has in them the ability to make anything. I know they're outsourcing everything, but what, you know, I would turn it back. Who would you get to handle Castlevania? They're not going to do it internally. So who would you get to make that game? And then would you make it like over the shoulder, like Lords of Shadow was?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, what are we making, the first Castlevania?
Yes. Yeah,
because that would be
style.
Yeah, that would be a completely new game. You know, I don't know about that.
I think if they want, they should make. They should try to get somebody to make, or like WayForward or somebody good at the 2D side scrollers. To do a new
2D side scroller Castlevania game. That would be something else. But yeah, to remake any of the old ones, I don't even know where you start with that. And then it's like, if you're doing a 2D, do you need Unreal Engine 5? You'd use anything for that. But if you want a 3D experience, if you want it to look like God of War, I guess. But then is it Castlevania anymore? That was my problem with Lords of Shadow, other than the weak story.
Yeah. What a trash games.
I will say this. What Konami can do is just hire one of the plethora of indie developers that do these games anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never seem to do that, though. There's people out there making fan games and doing a decent job. I'm not saying that they're like masterpieces, but these are like, what, 3-4 people working, trying to make this shit work. And I see these trailers on YouTube. I'm like pretty impressed with what they're able to do. And then what happens? Lawyers come out and descend on them, and then the shit gets shut down. They never go, hey, you know what? We should hire these guys. I think only Sega has done that. Nintendo will shut you down immediately. Capcom will gently shut you down, but they'll send a cease and desist, like, please stop making this. Like, okay. Nintendo will be like, how much money you got in your pocket? You know? Oh, shit, we better stop.
I know Konami used to be really heavy-handed when it came to a lot of that stuff, but at least from the Silent Hill 2 Enhanced Edition from the PC, I'm wondering if those guys got a little bit of a nudge and said, hey, yeah, because they recently ended their project, you know, after they pretty much fixed all of the bullshit of the HD, that shitty HD remaster from years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and they put out, you can get a really good, like a really good solid version of the classic Silent Hill, you know, 2, but, you know, for PC. But yeah, I mean, I think when it comes, I don't think Konami, if anything, is going to be remaking everything internally. I know they're doing Metal Gear, and I know that they have at least one Silent Hill game that's being done by an internal team. But yeah, I don't know. I'd see them to do a Castlevania game. I don't know. I don't know if there's any talent in there anymore that's able to sort of recapture that magic anymore.
I agree.
And like how you said, you know, Tony, for them to remake Castlevania, that would be a totally new game.
Yeah.
Is current Konami even capable of that? They're obviously capable of recreating Metal Gear Solid 3, just, you know, using Unreal Engine and all the stuff that they have already. But what is it going to, what would it be like if they're doing something new? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. All right. Yeah, again, they're going to go for the path of least resistance. They're not going to go like a full on big AAA. They're not going to do that. Those things are kind of behind them, I think.
Well, I mean, Metal Gear Solid and this Silent Hill remake are pretty big AAA.
But they're both remakes. I'm talking about something brand new.
Oh, like something brand new. No, I don't know how they would do that sort of thing. I think for Metal Gear, it's a reset for them to essentially reset themselves and maybe prepare them to do a totally new title. But I think in general, for the Metal Gear franchise, I think what's going to happen is we're going to see remakes or remasters of the games that are the most recent. So I think the next one for them will be Peace Walker. And I think the last and possibly 5 getting a nice new paint job on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, then maybe later on down the line, you'll see a Metal Gear 1 and a Metal Gear 2, Solid 2 put out.
Yeah. All right.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo, you know. All right. One subset. Another question here. I finally pulled the trigger and bought a PS5. So, man, he got one later than you did, man.
Oh, man. I thought I was the last one.
No,
All right.
Yeah. What upcoming games in the next 6 months are worth buying? This is the question we've been trying to ask all year, bro. And we still don't have an answer.
Well, I mean, you know, like there is right now, you know.
No, he said within the next 6 months.
The next 6 months, I can't actually answer. But yeah. I mean, you can go back and get a lot of those games that you missed out on.
Yeah, that's my answer to that. But focus
unless
on
you
the
played
stuff,
them on PS4.
Unless, yeah.
No. Like If you take all the big titles that came out for PlayStation 5, you know, up till now, you have a pretty good sizable amount of games, at least for, you know, spread from the 4 years that we've been with this console, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got your Spider-Man, you got your Miles Morales, you got your Spider-Man 2, you got your, your Ratchet and Clank, you got your, you know, like, you got a pretty decent amount of games.
Yeah, Insomniac games in general, you know.
You got a bunch of Insomniac games to play, and then, you know, you have a couple, you know, I think a lot of that, and like, I think maybe now or next year are probably the better years to have a new console, just in general, because there's just so much, there's at least that small smattering of games that we did have. If you did compound them to a later in the generation, you have yourself a decent amount of stuff to play.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, I think that's a better thing. That's the best way of looking at it. Don't think about what's coming up in the next 6 months, because honestly, it's dry. Focus on all the games that have been out, because you will have a good, decent amount of games if you count everything. So that's
if you count everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Monster Hunter Wilds is coming out to everything, bro. That's not a PS5 exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not an exclusive, but I mean, and Metaphor is also an exclusive. It's not an exclusive either.
Astrobot's so, already out, but it's a great game to play.
Astrobot's out. And yeah, and you can play both versions of Astrobot. One came, you know, Astro's Playroom came with the console. You know, it's a damn good platinum. And you can play that right before you play Astrobot. So you got two there. So you have a lot to, from the previous, from before you started. And then you have, you know, the little bits and knobs and things coming up, you know, whenever that
Wolverine,
are coming up.
You know,
there's Wolverine coming soon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, you're definitely going to be eating good for a little bit if you go back to those old games that have already been released for PS5, the exclusive games.
That's sort of what I've been doing. I mean, that's what I've been doing. You know, I kind of went back and got to play some of the things that I didn't get to play, you know. So, I'm so fortunate. Like, it's sad to say that there's, like, PlayStation 5 game this year? I don't know. I guess Astrobot, right?
Yeah, it's Astrobot by default, you know.
By default,
because
they said they're not going to have anything new. They said they're not going to have anything new or significant this year.
Yeah,
you can't play Concord, the greatest game ever created. I don't know why they got rid of it.
Yeah, right. You're missing out.
I actually
out, man.
Did have an answer for this, but then I remember that it's the same on Xbox. I was about to say that there's this game called Disappointment. But it's also available on Xbox as well, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. FF7 Rebirth, that's one you could play as well.
You can play Rebirth.
Not coming out, it's already out, but yeah.
You can play Rebirth and Remake, you know, because those both got
PS5 Yeah, I would play them in that order, for sure. So yeah, I think that's the better way of approaching it. Don't focus on what's coming in the next 6 months. Focus on the 4 years' worth of games you can play now, you know? All right, man. The last two questions here are both sponsored by Mr. Rumudith. They're from
who is that dude?
He's a good guy. Good guy. I think he's from New York. You know. So the first sponsor question. This one is from.
You mean that criminal state?
That criminal state.
not criminal. That criminal city. You know, that mayor.
Yeah. All right. So the first one from one subset. Tony, since you're back in the dojo. Have you retrained yourself on a fight stick? I'm glad you asked this question because this lets me talk about fight sticks versus, fight pads, right? There is this belief among the FGC that playing on a fight stick, you know, traditional arcade controls, makes you a better player. I can tell you now that it doesn't. Right. And this is not just coming from me. Remember, I've been telling you guys, I've been listening to the Triple KO podcast that asked Maximilian Dude, Matt Muscles and Justin Wong. They specifically had an episode dedicated to this topic. And these are hardcore. Justin Wong, dude, even he's like, you know what makes you better? Whatever you've been using the entire time. Right. So if you have been using a fight pad this entire time, stick with that. The guys have won tournaments, Evo and shit, with fight pads, old ass fight pads, right? It's really not about the controller you use. It's more about, you know, knowing how the game plays, footsies and all this other stuff, you know? And also, even statistically speaking, one doesn't give you more advantage over another, right? Now, check this out. So what does a fight pad right, or a controller have over a fight stick. The D-pad gives you way faster input response than a D-pad, because a D-pad, you have with a joystick, you have to make a large movements just to go forward, back, down, whatever, right? So a D-pad is actually better for that. But on a fight stick, the buttons are right there, so they're easier to access than they would be on a controller, right? So they kind of both have their strengths and weaknesses. And there's something Maximilian Dude said, and I really kind of stuck with me. He, you know, because people ask him, why do you use a fight stick? He says, because it reminds me of the arcade days. It's not because he thinks it makes him better. He just, it reminds him of going to the arcades playing, and he wants to keep that connection. And he even said he plays Capcom games on a fight stick, but he plays NetherRealm games on a fight pad, you know? So it's whatever you're used to. And conversely, I wouldn't tell a guy using a fight stick, oh, switch to a fight pad. If you have no muscle memory, it's the equivalent of like, you know, if you're like a professional basketball player and you suddenly switch to a baseball. Oh, wait, that actually happened with Michael Jordan. You know, those skills aren't really transferable in that sense. He was a good baseball player, but not like, you know, super, super big like he was with basketball and stuff. So my answer to that is stick with what you're good at. There's no, why would you, if you have been used to using either a fight pad or a fight stick for 30 years, why are you going to just start from scratch, which is what you're basically doing? The skills are not really transferable. Trust me. Yes, I did play in the arcades, but most of my time was spent playing at home. When I use a fight stick, I know how to do a fucking shoryuken and all this other shit. It doesn't work, you know?
Also,
go ahead.
Daigo won Evo with a freaking PS1 controller.
Yeah, there you go. Daigo. Yeah. Daigo, bro. You know, think about this. You give me a fight stick and Justin Wong a fucking old ass controller, he'll beat my motherfucking ass. You know, it's not about, it's about the skills you've accumulated all this time, you know? And even if top ranking players, dudes that have won Evo are telling you it doesn't make a difference, listen to them. Don't just go with this stigma, right? But I do want to talk about something that actually does give you a weird advantage, right? They're called hitboxes, right? Not the actual, hitboxes are a term in game, but they're actual controllers called hitboxes, right? I think the official term is they're leverless controllers. Basically, they look like a fight stick, but they don't have a stick. Instead of like, you know, the actual joystick, they just have four buttons, up, down, left, right. And apparently these controllers have become very popular at Evo and stuff like that, because it actually does make you a little bit better, because like even with a joystick and stuff, you could make mistakes. You really can't make mistakes with this. Up will always be up, back will always be back, down, back, you know, if you press both buttons will always read the same. So apparently this is becoming like, and this was kind of like surprising to me. Not only are these things becoming more popular at like fighting game events, but now people are going, you use a fight stick? Why? You like that? Now they're becoming frowned upon, like they're relics of the past, you know? So it's kind of interesting. Every time I look at one of those things, my brain just like stops. I'm like, I can't, this is not compute. Half of you, I understand, you know, but like the D-pad part, I'm like, what the fuck? It's more like typing than it actually is like, you know, playing on a joystick or D-pad and stuff. Very weird stuff. If you guys ever seen those hitboxes, there's many companies have come out with them, but the original guys, they made like a crazy prototype, and because they wanted to get better at Marvel vs. Capcom 2, they brought it over to like events like Evo, and the players were like, ooh, what's that? Can you make me one of those? And now other companies like Razer and all these other ones are making their own take on it. I still haven't tried one myself. I'm curious about it, but again, the same thing applies. I would have to relearn everything. I'm like, why would I do that when I already have like literally decades of muscle memory? So yeah, if you're good with a fight pad, stick with a fight pad. If you're good with a fight stick, stick with a fight stick. Don't change. You're good, you know? And the last question here from Mob Hits. And this one could be for everybody here. Continuing the talk on fighting games, which developer has the better fighting mechanics, and which of its games best utilizes those mechanics? Ooh, boy, this would get contentious. Actually, I have a controversial thing to say later on. But
Super Smash?
Yeah, not that. But Carlos, since you started talking, you can start us off here. What developer do you think makes the best, has the best fighting game mechanics?
I mean, is it too cheese to say Capcom?
No, because that's my answer. that's my answer. They're the ones that started it all, man. You know?
Yeah. You can't. I mean, they still hold the crown, man. They're consistent too.
Oh yeah.
So you got to give them that.
Even with Street Fighter V, which we all didn't like, that game played well. You know, yeah. And think about it like this, right? Remember, Street Fighter II pretty much launched fighting games as we know them today. Every game that you play after that, you even a 3D one, you're always thinking, how does this relate to Street Fighter? Because that really set the template for everything. So yeah, Capcom, absolutely, they're like the GOAT. They do it well. Like, there's a reason why I basically just focus on Capcom games throughout the 90s. And even at Evo and shit, like, those guys are, it's really a Capcom fucking event. At the end of the day, yes, there's other games, but people are there to see the big Capcom games. This is why, like, you know, the fighting game, you know, like, scene kind of died down after Street Fighter 3. There was nothing going on. I mean, there was fighting games coming out, obviously, but, you know, because that game didn't land that well, you know, it eventually became big and stuff, but didn't land that well. There was, like, they call it the Dark Age for the FGC. And guess what brought it back? Street Fighter 4. Capcom. They know what they're doing, man. So, but you know, there's
particular Super Street Fighter 4.
Yeah. It's like
that one blew the fuck up.
Oh yeah. So, does anybody else have any answers here?
Oh man, I 100% agree with that. Like, Street Fighter was so ingrained in me, and I played it so much that when I tried Mortal Kombat, my brain exploded. I was like, "It's got four buttons. How the fuck does this work?" You know, and it's like a lot of back forward and stuff. I'm like, "Oh no." Quarter circle, half circle moves, it's all back forward, and then, like, I don't know. I still, to this day, even though I've played, I think the last I played Mortal Kombat 11, but it hurts my brain to play it. Like, Street Fighter is just butter, right? And that's why I love the revamp of KI that Xbox did. That has Street Fighter controls.
Okay,
so it's perfect. Yeah, so it's great. You know, I got into that easy. Mortal Kombat, I kind of have to think about what I'm doing. Stuff is like a translation error in my brain. So if I can play those games, that's why I usually avoid them.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna just jump into. Oh, go ahead, Carlos, because Chris has already kind of gave me a good segue to what I want to talk about. But you go first.
Just real quick.
Yeah,
real quick. Capcom is so good at making fighting games that people don't complain about them making remasters within a year after their game releases.
That's true. Yeah, think about that. Remember with Street Fighter 2, bro, we had a lot of additions. People were like, mm-hmm. "Hey, it's cool," you know? But yeah, but Chris,
no, we weren't that back then. We're like, "What? Fuck Street Fighter Champion Edition? What the hell?"
And we still bought it though.
Yeah,
bought them.
Yeah,
but we're like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
no, it was stupid then too.
Yeah, but it makes sense, though, why they were doing that. But nowadays, you don't have to worry about that bullshit. Just do an update, you know? Okay, so I got to jump on a Mortal Kombat thing, bro. Because that was the other game we played, you know, other than, you know, Capcom games and Virtua Fighter, which I'll get to in a bit. For a little while, I almost exclusively played Mortal Kombat, right? It got to a point where, like, I was playing Street Fighter. I'm like, "Oh, where's the blood? This is not violent enough for me," you know? So for a while, I was playing a lot of Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2 and a lot of Mortal Kombat 3. Then after Mortal Kombat 3 kind of started dying down, you know, I went back to Street Fighter Alpha 2. I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is butter. What the fuck is wrong with me, bro?" Like, this is the shit right here. This is the shit, right? And it's funny that you bring that up, Chris, because after Mortal Kombat 3, I hadn't touched any Mortal Kombat game. I think I may have played a little bit of Deception or whatever, one of the 3D games. Like, what the fuck is this? Weapon shit. Fuck is this? So I hadn't played any Mortal Kombat games until I had to review Mortal Kombat 11. And the first thing I thought, I was like, "Oh shit, this thing is still stiff." You know? Like, they haven't removed that. It's still stiff. You know? And it's not just me talking shit. Again, I was listening to the Triple KO podcast. They were talking about you know, the characters they have in the new Mortal Kombat. You know, they have RoboCop. Justin said, "Hey, RoboCop's a perfect character for this game because he controls stiff just like all the other characters do." You know, So yeah, Mortal Kombat games, they're fun. You know, fatalities and all that, but stiff, bro, compared to like Capcom games. Excuse me, you know. But with that, I will have to give a shout out to Sega, man. Like Virtua Fighter, you know, and all their other 3D fighting games too. Butter, you know, that's at the template for 3D fighting games, you know. So shout out to them as well. I don't have a lot of experience with Tekken, admittedly, but that was pretty fucking smooth as butter too, you know. Good stuff right there. And right now, they're the only ones really holding up the crown of 3D fighting games.
I mean, especially the first one was such in the PlayStation. Fucking Eddie Goro, excuse me?
Yeah, right.
That's not the first one, though. But yeah, Tekken 3, where he first showed up, yes.
Yeah, and obviously the Soul Calibur games, you know, those great controls there, you know. And Manny, you know who you want to give a shout out to, Arc Sys, man.
Oh yeah, Arc System Works on their side. I feel like their games have sort of evolved. I would say the first Guilty Gear game was like a stiff version of like the Marvel games, like, you know, like that sort of, like, because you had super jumps, you had pretty much all that stuff, but it was a little bit stiffer than those ones. And I think as the years have gone on, they've kind of loosened up a little bit. Now you have some really legitimate, like really nice, you know, smooth characters in there. For me, I would say the best of the older Capcom games. Well, not the older Capcom games, but like my favorite controlling Capcom fighter, you know, Street Fighter game is Street Fighter Alpha 1.
Because that Alpha game, good, like, yeah.
That one, it was like everybody could do the little footsie combo. They could all do, and then the alpha counters were really cool. Like, they had a lot of really good stuff in that one. And my absolute favorite, I feel like, is Marvel Super Heroes from the, you know, the general evolution from the X-Men game. But I would say X-Men versus Street Fighter. Is it X-Men? X-Men versus Street Fighter is like that taken to the nth level. Like, if Marvel Superheroes was good, that one was even better than that.
Yeah, that's good. But since you brought up specific games, so yeah, I think the best examples are, to me, Street Fighter Alpha 2 is like peak Street Fighter. Like, no Street Fighter has been as good as that. Even though I will say I do like the combo system from Alpha 1 more. 2 is just the full package, man. You get like three different, like not three, you get two different kind of super move types and stuff. You know, one is custom combos, so that's perfect. And then of the versus games, X-Men vs. Street Fighter is still my favorite. Although in second place, and this may shock some people, it is not versus Marvel vs. Capcom 2. It's Marvel vs. Capcom 1. I really love that
game. No, Marvel vs. Capcom was good.
Yeah, those are my two favorites. And obviously replaying all these games, now I'm like, yeah, that my sentiments haven't changed. I actually like those games even more now, you know?
Because the thing about two is that you lost the button.
Yeah, you lost the button.
You lost the middle
ability. You lost the middle buttons. Granted, you could access middle by hitting L twice. But still, it's weird. And admittedly, it is easier to pull combos off that way. It is easier, but it's still weird. You want those six buttons there, you know? Also, I want to give a quick shout out to SNK, man. You know, Manny and I played a lot of Samurai Showdown. That was a very good game. And PSN had a sale this weekend. And I was curious. I'm like, hey, let me see these King of Fighters games. They were all fucking discounted. Bro, I'm talking about like the older King of Fighters, like 98 and 2002, which are like the GOAT games, like less than $3, bought them, you know. And I bought the new King of Fighters, the 15, for like $8 and shit. And I was playing around with them. And Manny, there's a little bit of stiffness, but it's still good. It's still really fluid and nice. And I know
they have that. Go ahead. They have that weird thing where it's like forward, down, back, and then forward. I always had trouble with that movement.
Yeah, it's a lot mainly for super moves. Like, for example, I was playing Terry Bogard, and it's funny because I was playing him in Street Fighter VI, then I went over to King of Fighters, and all the moves came out exactly the same because all his moves are all Hadoukens and shit. But his super move is back, like, you know, Tatsi, and then a Hadouken. But it's not a full Hadouken. Mm-hmm. And I was able to Chris, I didn't have that learning curve. I was like, oh, I get it. This is easy. I get it. It's not like Mortal Kombat, like learning a whole fucking different language, you know? This is more like, oh, okay, that he's, this is a different accent, but it's still the same language, you know?
He definitely, I would say,
for Terry Bogard, some other characters, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? You know,
for Terry, I would say he's way easier to play if you play the, was it Capcom versus SNK game?
Yeah, I never played that.
In those games, they Capcomified him.
Yeah. So I purposely picked, you know, because it's King of Fighters, three characters, right? I picked Terry, Ryo, right, from Art of Fighting. Ryo's really good too. He's another Shoto guy, Hadoukens and all that other stuff. He's the one that Capcom made fun of. Like, they kind of based Dan off of him, you know, to make fun of it. Like, hey, you're just ripping off our characters. But my man has a Shoryuken and everything, you know?
The guy who created that is the guy who essentially created Street Fighter itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the way, Manny, in the current King of Fighters 15, they have the Samurai Showdown team. So I was playing with Haomaru and stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is cool, man. You know, good games. You know, fighting games are fun, man. All right. Does anybody else want to jump in with their favorite fighting game developer?
I have to go with Bandai Namco. I think Tekken is just really nice. I like the idea that each of the four face buttons corresponds to like a different limb. So your right foot and right arms and whatnot. And it means that learning the combos is actually quite simple, because then you don't think in terms of, okay, is the charge character or not? It's more a case of, okay, which limbs are you swinging, and is there a pause? Do you need to combine limbs together to get moves out? I just think that's really nice, because I just couldn't, for the life of me, could not get around charge characters. Like, I don't know why, but my brain just doesn't work. I remember that I picked up Blanka, and I understood the like the first few moves, but then the whole idea of like charging. I used to have a friend of mine who was really big into Street Fighter, and he used to like try and teach me like how to play a charge character, and the idea that, again, the second after you attack, you hold down the charge. I just could not get that through my mind, because, again, Tekken, you don't charge anything. You just kind of put them out as you do. Maybe you buffer a few moves, but that's about it, you know. So just found that very strange. But, yeah, Street Fighter is definitely fun. I definitely do prefer the fireball characters rather than the charge characters, in my opinion, just because I think they work better for my mindset.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah,
Tekken is just nice.
Brian, I'm glad you bring that up, because remember I was talking about a PSN sale. I'm like, listen, fighting games are on sale. Tekken 7 was on sale for $9. I'm like, okay. Bought it. So I hope that's a good Tekken game to start with, because literally my only knowledge of Tekken, first it was Heihachi and Soul Calibur 2 and Akuma. I played like one set against Danny Pena at like E3. I played Akuma in Tekken. And I won, by the way. And I think it was that same game, too. I think it was Tekken 7. So I hope that's a good...
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah. So I hope that's a good game to start with, because I got a Tekken game, and I want to give it a shot. You know, because I was playing some Virtua Fighter 5 the other day. I'm like, I need another 3D fighter. And then I see Tekken on sale. I'm like, buying it.
I'd say it is, because the story mode does go through a lot of Tekken lore. Ooh. And, well, not a lot, but it kind of... get you up to speed, pseudo-esque, in terms of the family drama, because Tekken is actually a family drama.
It is, a fighting game. I know
it sounds weird, but yeah.
Does it do a good job of teaching like newcomers the mechanics, the basics?
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Again, like the basics, like once you know them, then it's the whole game sort of, it just works. Obviously, different characters have different move sets, so. If you really want to go that deep, it's more or less finding your favorite characters and using them. For reference, I used to be a Yoshimitsu main, but dear lord, ever since Tekken 6, he just got way too complicated, so I put him to the side. So now I main mostly Brian and Raven these days.
Ooh, okay.
That's my go-to. And I hate Paul mains. Just because they are Paul mains. If you ever go against like a Paul main online, then you'll know exactly why.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. By the way, you talk about, you know, people who give you grief, man. Again, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter VI. I hate Zangief players. They're the fucking worst. I think you can imagine why. Grapplers in general, Brian. I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah. You know how I was talking about my friend? He used to love Zangief, and I used to hate it because he was really, really good. So it's like, no matter what you did, he just walk towards you slowly and just intimidate you, you know?
Oh, God.
He'll just do that. Like, he won't even, like, purposely, like, charge you. He'll just, like, wait for you to, like, attack and then just get closer and get closer and get closer. And then eventually you're back against the wall and you're like, fuck.
It's insane.
And then he just grabs you. You know, it's like, oh.
And you know what annoys me about a lot of these Zangief players? I know I'm better than them, but they only need to hit me two or three times. That's mm-hmm. it. Grab me in that fucking spinning lariat, I'm done. You know?
Hated it.
Yeah. And there's this new girl in SF6 called Marissa. She's a grappler too. When I see a Marissa player, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm not gonna survive this. You know? What's going on, Otaku man, you love showing up as we're about to wrap up, man. It's hilarious. By the way, I forgot I was supposed to have you on the show, so we'll have you on Thursday. We'll talk. You know? All right, man. So wrapping it up here. Rich, what's going on with the coalition this week, man?
Yes. Well, busy time. So first and foremost, Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and myself, we recorded the latest episode of I Am Negan Podcast, talking about the Daryl Dixon show. Easily Carlos's most favorite episode so far this season. So definitely check out what we had to say about that episode, if you're curious. As for the coalition the rest of the week, there's a couple of reviews and previews that'll be dropping throughout the week. Some stuff that I've been playing I can't really talk about yet, but I will say this. Stay tuned, because there's a lot of stuff coming in the next couple of weeks on the website in various other ways. So look for that.
Awesome stuff, man. All right, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, and make sure you hit up the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You could also find us on your favorite podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That is two words, Throwdown Show. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Go play Space Marines 2. It's just that good.
Yeah, and it actually doesn't insult you, you know, like other games. It just wants to be a good game. That's all. All right, people. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Let's see what happens in the crazy industry this week. Later.
Laters.